How's everybody doing? Ready for another power session? My name's Dan Cederholm, and I thank you. About 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, I wrote a book called Bulletproof Web Design, and there was a missing page, 196, I believe it was, of the first pressing. It was stolen. And so here to talk about web design as a robbery, I give you Jason Santa Maria and Eddie Clark.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. God, this is packed.
It's packed. Yeah.
It's so great to see so many people here. Before we introduce ourselves, just in case anybody is thinking of actually leaving the session, as I've seen a couple of times.
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
Any of you fucking pricks, move! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you!
Thanks for that clip, Liz.
My name's Jason Santa Maria. I'm the creative director at Happy Cock Studios. I bring them everywhere.
Sorry? Ooh, I don't know how to do that. If there's a techie guy. There we go. I'm Andy Clark. I run a tiny one-person web studio called Stuff and Nonsense in England. And thank you very much. If anybody isn't familiar exactly with where England is, it's actually a small US aircraft carrier which is moored just off the side of Europe. But for those people that may need a little bit more cultural reference, it's fish chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, Mary fucking Poppins, England.
And I come from Philadelphia, but I have Italian roots in Sicily, which is really the old country. And though we might romanticize what website design is, and we might romanticize what pulling off a crime is, we definitely have a message that although website design may or may not be a crime, it does have to be organized.
So what we're going to do, we're going to take you through three different types of robbery this afternoon. So we're going to go through a snatch, we're going to go through a sting, and then we're going to finish up with a heist. So we're going to kind of take this one at a time and backwards and forwards. But
we'll be moving quickly. But
I love you, pumpkin.
Oh. I love you too, honey bunny.
So we're going to go through the snatch as the first part of the presentation.
So a snatch is really just a smash and grab, sort of a quick con, a really quick job, and ram raiding, which I'd never heard of before this. Daylight robberies. I think that only happens in England. And it's really, really this sort of agile development that I think that there are certain teams that have sort of made this into a way of life, into their own methodologies. And slide. And the thing to remember behind this is that though there are many, many marks, there are a lot of people competing for these marks. So you may or may not actually get them. There's a lot of risk involved, and there's very little payoff at times.
Not that we're suggesting that Jason Fried and 37 Signals guys are muggers or ram raiders. At least not for the podcast. So let's move on to the sting. Now, the sting's one of my kind of favorite romantic crimes. Not just because of the kind of the adventure that's involved, but also because there's an awful lot more kind of elaborate planning that needs to go into these things. And I just love the idea of a sting being that you will draw somebody else, into your confidence. You know, not just to satisfy your own ends, but also in a sort of strangely obscure way to also satisfy their own needs and motivations as well. So, confidence tricks. there's a lot more process that's involved in actually coming up with the strategy to pull off a con. And one of the most important things is that you've got to understand your mark. You know, you've got to choose your mark really carefully because you're going to be exploiting their weaknesses. And as part of that, you need to make sure that absolutely everything that you do is going to be satisfying their motivation, but it's also going to be, you're going to be 100% confident about what it is that you're trying to achieve with a job. Now, I don't know about you, but it's not every day that we try to con clients, but I'm sure that I'm not the only person that's entered into a job actually not knowing how to pull it off. And you say, yeah, that's okay. We can handle that. And then you're going to figure out how to actually do it at the end. So there is a lot more process involved and there's a lot more planning involved. And it's quite a fun way of actually doing it. It certainly keeps you on your toes. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're going to talk about actually how to pull off the perfect job, the perfect heist.
And the heist is sort of the big job that everybody wants. The heist is that job that you get remembered for, the job that everybody sees. And whether you pull it off or not, you actually end up being remembered and you go down in history for being remembered by that. Stuff like the Great Train Robbery or crappy films like Ocean's 11 where there's this big heist involved.
These are the type of jobs where not only hopefully you're going to be remembered by the people that you've robbed, but you're also going to get remembered by, you know, your peers and members of your own kind of criminal web design and development community.
And these jobs are also large and involve so much planning that you need more than just a small team. You need a large team.
So these are the jobs that are really going to go down in history. So in order to pull this type of job off, you just got to do your homework. And the planning and the preparation and actually the research that goes behind doing your homework is one of the most important parts about this whole area of heisting. So the first thing that you need to do really is you've got to know everything. You've got to know everything, not only technically about how perhaps the building's laid out or about the structure of the building and your exit route, your entry and your exit route and how to get in and out. But you also have to know everything about everybody that's involved. Now, from a client point of view, they could just be the difficult clients. You've got to be really wary of the hero factor. And, you know, you've got to know not only who's going to be awkward, amongst the people that you're targeting. But you've also got to be aware of, you know, perhaps those awkward people that are going to be sticking their hand up at client meetings and saying, yeah, I think it's a really good idea that we have this design filled with sheep, which has actually happened to me more than once living in Wales. They seem to... this person obviously forgot the Welsh and the love of their flock when they made that suggestion. But you need to know about the hero factor. You need to know about how you're going to get in and how you're going to get out. So you need to have a plan and you need to have done research for absolutely everything, which is going to be involved in the job.
And that might involve scenario-based training, perhaps prototypes, diagrams, mock-ups, anything that's going to lead your crew through the job and help the plan out.
So there's no substitute for doing your homework. You can't run into a job like this with the same kind of mentality as you're going to do, you know, a mugging or a handbag snatching or driving your SUV into a shopping mall, which happens in England, apparently. This type of heist really does require a lot more forward thinking. And hopefully this is the kind of job that everybody wants to be doing.
And any good crew is built up of a number of specialists, people who know their art and their involvement in the job intimately, people who can deal with crowd control or people who can deal with the technical issues, blowing the vault door off, explosives, technical electronic things, the muscle, the getaway drivers, anyone who's going to help you stay ahead of the client.
So these are some of the people that we'd like to have in our crew for this particular heist. don't know whether any of these people are actually in the room. But it is vitally important. You know, no developer is an island. No, but nobody's listening to what I'm saying at all, are they? They're all looking at these things.
These people are experts.
So really, no designer or developer is an island. Nobody can really pull off this type of job on their own. So you need to have the crew together. You know, you need to have those individuals that are part of your team that are going to be responsible for each individual part of the job. People that really do know their trade and their craft. You also need to have people on the team that are, you know, the muscle behind it. Because, you know, having the technical specialists that are going to be able to, you know, disable the security system, take out the cameras, take out the motion detectors, that's all fine. But you also need to have the muscle in a lot of jobs. You need to have those heavy hitters, those people that are going to really come on and stamp their authority on the job. You know, perhaps people that are slightly well known, perhaps, or that can come in and actually stamp their authority on client meetings. Because, you know, you don't want the client to be taking control of you. You can't let that happen when it comes to a robbery. We can't let other people be involved. We have to make our mark and our stamp on that particular environment for that period of time. So it's really important that you have those people that are, you know, providing the real, the grunt and the muscle, to be able to actually make the whole thing happen. So these are the people that we'd like to work with. You do work with some of these people, don't you?
A few of them. And any job, you need to have a plan. And when you have that plan, you need to find places to meet up and talk about it. Whether that's the back room of a strip club or a conference room, or perhaps somewhere else.
I love you, Pumpkin.
I love you, Honey Bunny. And you have to have a place where you can meet up and discuss all of the details of the plan. So for instance, if you're planning a job and you might want to organize all the details down to the minute of what you have planned to do, all the milestones and goals behind the job.
Now, hopefully you don't work on too many projects where the milestones are separated by minutes. Unless, of course, you work for Flickr. But it's really important that you have all of these things documented so that you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing at any one time. And not only that you know what you're supposed to be doing, but you know what everybody else is supposed to be doing at that particular time. And for that, communication is absolutely key.
Right, discussing the details of the job and understanding that things in a job can change and details in the scope of a job can change. So you need somewhere to discuss that, talk about it, plan new things out, and figure out alternate methods.
So Basecamp, for a plug, to make friends again with 37 yeah, Signals yeah. is it the ideal way of planning a robbery. So with everything in place, with all of the communication and the planning and the homework and the technical crew and the muscle and all the people involved that really are going to be involved in pulling off a successful robbery, then it's time to actually pull off the job. Now, I'm hoping that it's going to go well. Everything that we've done and we've planned is going to pay off and we're going to achieve our objectives and go away with the jewels. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, does it? Sometimes jobs go wrong. Sometimes things don't work out how you want them to work out. So we need to be able to, whether the job's gone right or wrong, we have to get away.
Things can come at you from all directions. You have to be prepared to deal with those things. Whether it's, you know, last minute changes at the end, maybe the security guard isn't on the west side, he's on the east side now while you're trying to break in. And all of these things pop up right at the end of the project, inevitably, all the time. And you have to be able to plan ahead for contingencies.
Because there's no point in having a job that's been done really well and that has gone really smoothly, and then you allow these kind of little backdoor traps just to kind of come up and bite you from the ass behind. And I'm sure I'm not the only person that's thought, yeah, this job's finished. You know, we've done this, we can put it to bed, we can move on. And then all of a sudden the client comes back with, you know, a bunch of content revisions or some new text that they need changing, that, you know, they supplied you in the first place and like three times. So things can often come at you from behind, and you need to have your wits about you, and you need to have your senses tuned just to be aware that this kind of stuff's going to happen and know exactly how to deal with it.
Why do they call him the bullet dodger?
Why do they call him the bullet dodger?
Because
he dodges bullets.
So when these things fly at you, you have to be able to deal with them. You have to be limber and you have to be agile and you have to figure out different ways to tackle the problems. And you also have to understand that when it gets really thick and there are enough bullets, you might have to cut and run. You might have to get out of the job. You might have to ditch the client. And you might have to get out of Dodge.
I mean, the worst thing that you want to get, you want to happen at the end is to get caught out. So the objective that you need to achieve is always set there out at the beginning, but sometimes you need to know that this thing isn't just going to work out. You know, I need to cut this right now. I need to walk away because, you know, I want to come back for another job next time and in the future, and I don't want to spend the next 20 years in Parkhurst or
Folsom.
So we've got the payoff. That's what we want. We want to come away with the jewels or the swag. That's what we all set out to do. Now, you know, we love web design, and, you know, I'm sure that, you know, there are career criminals as well. But at the end of the day, you know, whether you're working on your own or you're working in a small team or for a company or an organization, at the end of the day, you're doing it to earn money. You're doing it for the payoff. And, you know, that's what we're really aiming to achieve at the end of the day. And all of this stuff just leads up to it.
You also have to make sure that you don't leave any loose ends. If you leave a lot of dangling loose ends at the end of a job, somebody might pick up on those. They might track you down, and then you might end up in the Folsom or
Parkhurst.
Parkhurst.
I mean, we don't want to be leaving any loose ends for people to follow. And there's been a whole catalogue of, you know, famous English robberies like the Great Train robbery and the Brinksmack bullion robbery, which were, you know, all planned and executed absolutely perfectly. But, you know, because of the sloppiness and because of the loose ends, you know, of a few of the members of the team, you know, these guys got caught. And, well, in the case of the train robbers, they got 25 years, which was a long time to wait until the next job. Things might have moved on by then. So really, all of this just goes into to making what we do for a living bulletproof. Putting everything together, understanding exactly all of the process which is involved, and understanding what's required and how to organize and how to manage and how to have really put together, you know, what we hope to be the perfect heist. Now, I don't think that there's one good way or one right way of doing web design. And I certainly don't think that there's one right way of pulling off a robbery either. I mean, none of these things, whether it be a sting or a snatch or a larger heist, really is it's not just the one way that we should be approaching pulling off the perfect robbery. It's a combination of all of these things. It's a combination of the agility of things like a snatch with bringing the confidence of the client in from something like a sting, to the planning and the research and the management and the organization, and all of those aspects of the bigger heist that go into making what we would term bullet tooth web design. So we were going to make a getaway because we've got a train to Brazil, a plane to Brazil.
It's a long train.
But if anybody does want to have some Q&A, as we're 5 minutes early, We could use the time. So thank you very, very much for coming and packing out the room.
Yeah. You have some books, don't you?
If anybody wants to ask a silly question, I've got a couple of, got three copies of my book here for the stupidest and most ridiculous question that gets asked.
Someone at the mic.
So, and there's the first victim.
First sucker. So what do you do when there's a mole in your organization?
Ooh.
It's actually a real question. We got a big client once, and the condition was that we had to hire somebody to just do, like, work for them. We had to hire somebody to just handle support for them. And, you know, we made the mistake of taking that on. So what ended up happening is that that person would just get calls from that client, and we would end up having to do support all day, every day, continuously for that person. So what would you do in that situation?
Do you want to take this one first?
I think you got it. I want to hear more about the sheep client.
Okay, I've never had a person within a client organization that you could really class as a mole. I've certainly had people that, you know, potentially have had their own agendas that just want to make their life, make your life more difficult. You know, discovering that your business partner's a crook, that's always an interesting one. But in terms of client stuff, I think the best way of handling it is management. And one of the mistakes that I certainly made in the past, is just to assume that everybody that is working for you is working for you or working with you. And, you know, if you take people at face value and you just assume and go on your merry way thinking that they've got your interests or the business's interests or the company's interests at heart, then sometimes really that can come back and bite you on the ass. And that is certainly something that I have experienced.
Yeah. And you have to protect your own interests.
You want to get to the mic? Or yeah. Is there a mic?
No.
Is there a mic?
Just shout.
When using an informant to plan out your project, is there a way of determining the validity of the informant and which informant you should be speaking to?
Okay.
I like these themed questions.
I like these themed questions. Yeah. So the question for the podcast, the gentleman didn't have a microphone, was how do you verify the quality of the information sources that you're getting in? Ooh, you do this one.
Oh, goody. how do you verify the information? I guess if maybe there's any sort of tell, you can maybe see if they're lying. Do they twitch? Do they, do they? You speaking to the right informant? It depends. Can you tell? I mean, if anyone else is pulling their own strings, or is there someone above them? I don't know if I'm answering that right. Who has the biggest paycheck? That's who's in. That's who, where you verify the information.
At the mic.
Okay, cool. Being as here, I'm teaching the con to the next generation of hustlers out there. What's the best tools out there to really kind of get our students who are coming out of our web design degrees here to understand how to actually hustle their clients a little better than they are at this point? Because our guys have no idea what they're doing when they get their first clients or do their first internships.
I don't think there's this. I don't think that you can take robbery as a class in high school. And I know that it's really difficult to take web design as a class in high school and learn what it's like to. Okay, well, yeah. I think that inspiring people to think for themselves is always far better than telling them what to do. I find that in kind of all walks of life. And, you know, inspiring robberies. You know, things like the Great Train Robbery or the Brinksmap Bullion Robbery. I mean, I don't know whether it's a kind of folklore thing in the US, whether you know about the Great Train Robbery, but this is back in the 1960s where a bunch of guys decided that they would rob a mail train. And it was very much the kind of Robin Hood, Wild West kind of stopping the mail train. And they got away with it and they stole an enormous amount of money and pulled off what was absolutely the perfect robbery. Except that along the way, they coshed a guard on the train who later died from his injuries.
The client.
How many times have you coshed a client? But these guys went down in history. They became real folklore villains. And, you know, there is a certain, you know, romanticized, you know, idea about crime. But, you know, they got 25 years, but everybody wanted them out. You know, it was, they were real kind of working class, they were real inspirational heroes, you know, not just to the kind of the criminal fraternity, but, you know, to people that really kind of like, you know, looked up to the train robbers. So I think that it's inspiring people is often better than actually teaching them and, you know, giving people great examples to follow. That would be what I would suggest.
One more?
Yeah. Oh, we've got another. We've got time for two or three.
I've got a question. When you know the job is going bad, is it appropriate or can you like plug it on the patsy? That's, you know, the loose link. Like, can you steal?
That's a book.
can you get that one person that's making the job go bad? Can you still get away with the loot?
Of course,
without really landing everybody in the clink.
That's a job in and of itself, is planning to set someone up, especially someone on your own team. Right, Andy?
Not on the web, but God, a few years ago, I worked for a technical company. They were involved in prepress and they sold prepress equipment. And there was a particular engineer who was actually not bad at his job. He was kind of going out there installing, you know, inkjet proofers and all this kind of stuff. But one of his really bad habits was to blame the organization. So when he couldn't get something to work or he couldn't get something done on time, he used to blame the organization. And he used to say, you know, damn the people in sales, they sold you the wrong thing. Or, you know, damn the people in the warehouse department, they haven't sent me the part. And all he was trying to do was to cover his own ass. And, you know, I can understand from a kind of a human point of view why you would do that. But in general, the impression that it gave was that the company was, you know, badly organized and, you know, the departments didn't talk to each other. So I don't think that it's right to blame somebody. I don't think that it's appropriate if the job is going sour to start kind of pointing fingers, particularly at members of your own team or organization, because, you know, A, you've got to work with them, hopefully, again. But also it just leaves a bad taste in the mouth. And, you know, maybe it's sometimes appropriate just to say, fair cop, gov. You know, we got it wrong. You caught us out.
I often say that.
Move on. We've got time for
two more. This plays upon the informant question that he asked, but what happens when you pull off the perfect robbery only to discover that the jewels that you got were counterfeit?
That's good too. I haven't got enough books. We'll come and steal some from Barnes and Noble on the trade shows there. They won't look. We need a decoy. Flat Hicks. He can be our patsy.
Done.
See? This is going to be the last question.
Oh, we're done? Oh. Okay, so the question was, what happens when the jewels that you get are counterfeit? Blame it on the patsy. Too many themed questions.
Too many themed questions. Sorry? The cops are on the way. I think just to try and attempt to answer that question really badly, I think that no matter what we do, it's never going to be good enough. And there's always going to be new stuff that comes out. You know, you might install a content management system with a client and then, you know, a few months down the line that, you know,
it's gonna be obsolete.
The thing's not shining anymore. And, you know, the varnish has come off it and it's not really a diamond. It's a pebble. You just got to live with that. But hopefully you take pride in the actual robbery itself, because at the end of the day, you know that nothing's going to be absolutely perfect forever. So you just take pride in, you know, in pulling off a great job and hopefully not getting caught out. And then when we know that their insurance is paid up, we'll go and rob the bastards again.